Our gospel reading tonight. Once again, the very familiar words of Luke chapter 2, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 20. Hear now the word of God. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. The word of the Lord. Would you bow with me? Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, we all ought to be keeping a diary these days because this will be, I hope, the strangest Christmas of our lives. We pray the mercy and the grace of God that it doesn't get any stranger than this. To be separated from loved ones, to I think you could go to the airport today and be amazed at how quiet it would be. A few people are traveling and families are going to get together in small gatherings. It occurred to me as I was studying this wonderful text again, that the first Christmas was much more strange than this one. It's just that we're so accustomed to the story that we don't see the strangeness anymore. And those shepherds out in that, well, first of all, Mary and Joseph having to take an unplanned trip at a very inconvenient time, to be registered just because Caesar decided he wanted to count heads. And then the shepherds out there in the field getting their very ordinary night interrupted by a squadron of angels. I've done a lot of farm work in my life when I was a youngster. Not a lot with sheep. In fact, none with sheep, but I am more acquainted with cows than I ever wanted to be. And I can tell you, with livestock, there's a lot of things you expect to encounter. Angels, not one of them. And intensely boring work. So let's let the strangeness of this story work on us tonight and enter into the story. Maybe because our lives have been a lot of unexpected recently, maybe we can sort of begin to enter into this story just a little bit more. You see, and that's the power of any biblical story, that we enter into it. First of all, the power of the story, of any Bible story, the power in the story is that it's true. That's always the power of the gospel, that it's true. Whether we accept the truth of it, whether anybody accepts the truth of it or not, the gospel is true. God really did take on human flesh and enter our world. But the story can only impact our lives if we drop our guard and enter into the story and let it work on us. And let me start by just kind of giving you an example. The story begins with Caesar, and every human being has a Caesar in their life. There is something in your life that runs your life. I hope it's Jesus Christ tonight. And even though I gave my life to Christ many, many years ago as a young boy, I sometimes find myself surrendering my life to Caesar. Caesar is whatever you allow to run your life. It's that power in your life that would make you load up your donkey and travel to another town at the worst possible time. Your Caesar might be an employer or a dream that you have or an ambition that you have or a fear that you have. Your Caesar might be your guilt or your shame. Maybe there's a hurt from your past that's running your life. Maybe anger at some old hurt is driving you. Everybody has a Lord that they answer to. The only question is which one. And the story of Jesus tells us that right in the midst, it's right in the midst of our desperate efforts to please Caesar that God will interrupt our lives. That entire region was knocking themselves out to make Caesar happy, to get in the right place for the census. And right in the midst of that, the ultimate strange event, Jesus was born into the world. Now here's another truth from the story that I hope you can enter into. Jesus crossed all time and eternity to come to us. Imagine the distance and the... Imagine the transition, we can't, from Almighty God to a baby in a manger. There's a mystery there that the human mind can't take in. But Jesus crossed all time and eternity to come to us. Everybody in the story had to take a few steps to get to him. Now, that's true of every human life. Christ has come into the world. Christ has come to us. Christ offers himself to us, and he says, come to me. He gives that invitation to everybody. If anyone is thirsty, come to me and drink. He said, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. Come to me and find rest for your soul. He offers himself, but he doesn't tackle anybody and pin them down and say, make me your savior. Everybody in the story has to make a trip to get to the manger. So tonight I want to talk about three paths to the manger. The first one is the path of the shepherds. And the shepherds are emphatically not, as far as we know, at least the text doesn't give us any indication, they are not spiritual seekers, they are shepherds. And they are out in the field doing their job. I am sure when they went out into the field that night, nobody said, hey, be on guard just in case a squadron of angels comes over and interrupts us with news of a baby. Nope, they're just minding their own business when God totally took them by surprise, and God will do that. God has done that in lots of people's lives in a miraculous way that maybe you couldn't explain and that maybe other people were skeptical about, but God just interrupted and said, I want your heart. Come follow me. Maybe it was a time in your life when everything seemed dark. In fact, maybe you had become accustomed to the darkness. And God just broke into that darkness and shined his light and said, I love you. I forgive you. Come to me and find life. Trust me. Walk with me. And you did. Maybe you're even afraid to talk about it because people will think you're a little unhinged. But you know what happened to you. How many times do you think that the shepherds told the story about the angels and the baby, and even their friends and family just backed away a little and said, oh, that's so nice. Oh, gotta go now. But those shepherds didn't mind. Luke tells us they left glorifying and praising God for all that they had seen and heard. Their lives had been interrupted by the grace and love of God. They knew that the Savior Jesus had come for them. And maybe you took a path a little like that. Some people take the path of the wise men. Now, the wise men weren't in our account from Luke tonight. We know that Matthew tells us that they came along a couple of years later. It took them longer to get to the manger. The shepherds were not seekers. They were just taken by surprise. The wise men are seekers. God gave them just a little light, a little star in the sky that they saw and they identified, and they must have conferred with each other, and they set out on a journey. The wise men were seekers in search of answers to the biggest questions of life. Why am I here? Is there a God? Does God care about me? Is there a way I can be forgiven? Is there a way I can know God? On their path, there was no huge miracles, no squadron of angels, just a little light in the sky. The wise men were the philosophers and the thinkers of their day. They saw a star in the heavens. They took it as a sign. The wise men were so wise that when they got lost, they asked for directions. Go figure. They took a little bit longer to get to Jesus, but they got there. Some people come to Jesus at the end of an intense search. And it's a rational search that involves not only the heart, but the mind. God not only gave you a heart, God gave you a brain. This is part of my story. I told you I came to Christ as a youngster, but when I was a college student, I had a lot of questions that had to be answered. And I went on a search. And thankfully, you know, God brought people into my life. God brought resources into my life. And I came to the, well, I didn't get answers to all my questions. But I came to a deeper trust in Jesus. And I knew that the gospel is true. Not just true because it feels true, but because it's objectively true. Christianity is true. It can more than handle honest questions from an open-minded seeker. You may know the name Dr. Francis Collins. He is head of the National Institutes of Health. He was head of the Human Genome Project. He is a Christian. When he was a young man, he was an agnostic. And he became a Christian in his student years when a pastor had the good sense to give him a copy of Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis. And once again, I'm sure he didn't get every question answered, but he came to trust Christ as his Savior. So there's the path of the shepherds, there's the path of the wise men. And finally, I want to talk about the journey that Mary took. When she heard the shepherds tell about the announcement of the angels, the text says, but Mary treasured up these things, treasured up, held, embraced. She treasured up these things, pondering them in her heart. Now, there's only one person in all of history that can fully understand that experience, and that, of course, is Mary. But many people will take a path that is something like Mary's path. Think about how Jesus came into Mary's life. This was, without a doubt, the most important unplanned pregnancy in human history. But she accepted. She said to the angel Gabriel, "Let it be to me according to your word." Now, for many of us, the arrival of Jesus into our lives is not something we had in mind any more than Mary and Joseph had it in mind. Jesus often enters our lives under the cover of a great disruption that we didn't plan. Now, with Mary, it was being pregnant with the Son of God. Oh, my, was her life interrupted, disrupted. All of her plans went out the window. And I've known many dear Christians who came to Christ at a moment when their life was interrupted with what looked like the worst thing that had ever happened to them. It might have been the diagnosis of a very serious illness. It might have been the death of a loved one. or the loss of a job or the crumbling of a career. In every life, there's going to be disruptions that we didn't plan and that we didn't want. And all of a sudden, you find yourself going down a road that you didn't expect. Brothers and sisters, God is on that road. God is with you. And God will use that moment to call you to Himself and teach you to trust Him. Mary had to learn that the coming of Christ into our lives is not something we plan, it's something we receive. Now think for a minute, where would the world be today if Mary had lived out the quiet life that she had planned? God had something better in mind. Now, let's say Mary was 14, 15 at the time. If you can think back to when you were that age, just yesterday, think what would have happened to you if your life had turned out the way you thought it would when you were young. You don't have to live very long before you figure out that your plans are going to be interrupted. Life is not going to work out the way that you mapped it out. You didn't see angels in the sky like the shepherds, and you didn't think your way to Jesus like the wise men. But as you look back through all of the unexpected twists and turns of your life, God was there, calling you to Himself, nudging you toward Jesus. Now, I've spoken tonight of three paths to the manger. There may be more, by the way. In fact, there is certainly more. God loves individuals. So God loves the group of us, but God knows us as individuals. God works in our lives as individuals. God knows you through and through. The deepest secrets of your heart, better than you know yourself. And God will lead you on a unique path to Jesus and on a unique path over a lifetime that gets you closer and closer to Jesus. So there's not one path. There's not one path to Christ. But there is, brothers and sisters, only one true destination. There are many false ways in life. Here's the test of a true path. All true paths lead to Jesus. Every true quest leads to Jesus. Take the path that's right for you. But remember, there's only one true destination, and don't get sidetracked. Caesar and Quirinius and Herod were much too busy to get to Bethlehem that night. The religious scholars of Jerusalem wouldn't go to Bethlehem because they were certain they already knew it all. Come to the manger. He's the way and the truth and the life. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the way, the wonderful way that you entered into our world. You dropped your guard and made yourself vulnerable. And you call us to drop our guard and become vulnerable and come to you and trust you. We thank you that you crossed all time and eternity to come to us. Give us grace, O Lord, not only to come to you, but to come closer. I pray for each one here and everyone listening at home. Lord, may we take a step closer to you this night, even right now in this moment, to trust you more, to cast all of our cares on you, and to trust your leading for our future. And I pray it in your precious name, Lord Jesus. Amen.